Mi español no bueno. He's Jamaica, man.
I'm Jamaica.
I identify. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started this evening. So if you want to take your seats, and I'm going to kind of go over some instructions for about 30 minutes or so, and then we're going to kind of try and break up a little bit. So you might have to, you know, get friendlier with other people, shift tables a hair. Because the goal of tonight is to kind of walk through a little worksheet that I have that's kind of like a gospel presentation worksheet. And then give up people an opportunity to kind of practice one with another. And so hopefully, especially people that are kind of newer to soul winning, or maybe they've never gotten soul winning, we want to encourage them to have an opportunity tonight to try and, you know, go through some of these first parts with somebody that's already an experienced soul winner. So how many people have not gone soul winning further back than years? So like this would be the first year. Or like 12 months or earlier is when you've been gone soul winning, is like for the first time. Who's would say like in the last 12 months, the first time they've ever gone soul winning? How about the first time they've ever tried to give the gospel? Is it like the last 12 months? So yeah, we have a lot of people here that are kind of, you know, a little bit newer to soul winning, and so that's great. We really want to encourage you to keep going. And so Brother Oz is going to hand out a couple things, okay? He's going to give everybody one of these packets, and then when I say everyone, I'm meaning like the adults. So all the adults should get a packet and then a pen, and it's just kind of like a little worksheet that we're going to kind of walk through. Also, if you want one, I have these little how to give the gospel papers, and so if you just want one, you can have one. If you feel like I'm not going to really use that, you don't have to take one, but it's just something you could have stuffed in your Bible. It's basically got a real simple plan of salvation, laminated. So if you want to have that, or if you want to use it or put it somewhere else or give it to someone, you can have one. There should be approximately one for all the adults, again. So if you want to get one of these. And then one other item that we have as a goodie, and this is a special thank you to Miss Ophelia, but she donated a whole bunch of these Spanish and English New Testament soul winning Bibles. And so anybody in our church that, you know, at least wants to or is attempting to give the gospel in Spanish, I'd like for you to take one of these tonight. We've got a lot of them. If you say, what is Spanish? Just ignore this, okay? But if you know, we had some tacos and some burritos. Now, if that's the extent of your Spanish, then you probably should wait. But if you are interested in giving the gospel in Spanish, or you already do, please grab one of these. They're really nice, high quality. It's a New Testament. It's got an English on one side and Spanish on the other side. And so it's a special little gift there. So we'll have those up here. So at any point tonight, you come up and grab one, get one if you need one. And so that's a special gift. Thank you to Miss Ophelia for that. That's definitely a great present. I used it today. And so, the first person I talked to got saved. So there you go. All right. So Luis, you know, it works. Apparently this thing works. So, you know, praise the Lord on that. And just because we have people coming in, I want to make sure that we're getting all of our salvations counted. Was there any salvations that were not given to a soul winning captain already or not reported to anybody yet from this afternoon? You had five as your group? Okay. And that was, okay, that was with two different partners, right? So he had five. Was there anything else from today? Okay. And that was, you were with who in the morning? Okay, yeah, Brother John. All right. So there anything else? All right, so we had another, so add seven to our other totals. For someone to say, yep. All right. So as Brother Oz is handing these out, I'm not going to quite get started. I'm going to wait until everybody kind of has one and they're ready to go. You're pretty much ready. Does everybody kind of have one? Is anybody missing one? I still have. Okay. Basically, this is kind of just like a real elaborate soul winning presentation is what this pamphlet is. And I'm not going to necessarily go through this word for word. The goal of today is that I'm just going to kind of highlight some of the parts of the gospel presentation that I think are maybe the most challenging or things that people should try to work on and try to improve no matter what stage, area, or level you're in. But I'm going to kind of focus on the first half and then the second half. And really, I find when it comes to giving the gospel, there's kind of like two big areas that people struggle with. Number one is just kind of the introduction, just basically going from saying hi to then giving the gospel, getting to that point. And then the second point is like while you're giving the gospel, getting successfully to the prayer, basically closing the deal. I feel like those are the two most difficult parts of giving the gospel is just kind of getting to the starting point and then kind of ending. And so tonight I'm going to be focusing on the introduction. Tomorrow I'm going to be working, I'm going to kind of focus on the ending, and then I'm just going to have a few more tips on Saturday, okay? So that's just kind of give you a high level of what we're going to be doing. I have four questions here in this introduction section, okay? And these are pretty standard questions, but the reason why they're standard questions is because they work, okay? And so I want to make something clear, like soul winning has been done by thousands of people before us, and they're going to do it after us, and there's just certain things that just work. And so really, what I find is when people try to get cute or unique or try to do things their own way, that's when you really just kind of end up not being as successful. You know, you really want to kind of stick to the tried and true methods, formulas, and everything like that. That given, obviously, if you can get someone saved, who cares how you did it, right? I mean, we don't really care at the end of the day. But this is the goal of a seminar is to be the best we can be at presenting the gospel and getting even better. And I find that when people start asking other questions or getting in the weeds at the introduction stage, it never goes anywhere. I'm thinking like, oh, that's great. I want to try that technique, okay? And so, you know, really when it comes to knocking on doors, or really presenting the gospel to anyone at any time, the starting point is pretty much just always, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Really, that's just, you want to get to that question as soon as possible. And really, I would say, you know, in a non-soul winning environment, like your family and friends, that's the hardest question to ask for me, is just to get that one question out there. But, you know, as soon as you get it out there, you know, all the cards are on the table and you basically have the opportunity to then give the gospel. So when I'm knocking doors and I'm running into strangers, I don't really care if they like me or not. So I want to get to that question as soon as humanly possible, okay? So obviously I'm not saying necessarily as soon as they open the door you have to ask that question. You might say hello. Oftentimes, we offer them a card, right? We say, hey, we're from a Baptist church. Okay. But just to be honest, everything that I'm saying is pretty much meaningless before that question. So there's really no point in engaging any kind of conversation with people, you know, very long outside of just giving that, dropping that question. Okay. So you really want to, if you want to be a really good soul winner, if you want to be really efficient, you just want to get to that question because we want to try and reach as many people as possible because not everyone's interested in the gospel. So it's a numbers game. You know, it's kind of a numbers game and really people have already made up their mind whether they're going to listen to you when they opened the door and they looked at you. And for some of you, like Ryan, it's kind of rough. So you want to get to that question quickly, okay? But obviously, you know, we're there to get them saved. And I've heard this analogy or this story. It's really a story. One of my bosses said the greatest salesman that he's ever known of, the greatest salesman that was like in the Chicago area or something when he was growing up, made more money than the owner of the company, okay? So this guy was making hand over fist, just millions of dollars, was the greatest salesman, outselling every other salesman. And they finally were like, okay, let's learn from this guy. Like, what are you doing? Why are you so effective? And they're like, when you walk up to the door and you talk to people, what do you say? And now, to give you a little context, the guy sold medical equipment. And it was something like an x-ray machine or something like that, okay? But there was something that was universal. Every doctor's office needed one. They had lots of them. There was a lot of people they could possibly sell this to. And he said, you know what I do? I just wake up early in the morning, I go to the office, and I knock on the door, and as soon as they open it, I say, do you want to buy an x-ray machine today? And if they say no, I just go to the next door. And then they were like, no. Like, do you sell it? Like, what features do you bring up? And he's like, I don't bring any of features up. I just literally just walk up and just say, do you want an x-ray machine today or not? And if they say yes, then I'm like, hey, here's the price. You know, here's some of the features. And they're ready to make a decision right then and there. He says, I usually sell them in 5 minutes or less, or the person's not interested and I move on. But, you know, a lot of salespeople, they just waste hours or 30 minutes with people that are not interested, never going to buy. You know, and if you've ever been in a sales job, you've had your time wasted, you know, by people. Soul winning's no different. You know, you want to pop the question, as it were. You want to say, will you marry me? You know, I'm just kidding. You want to just get it out there. You don't want to date for forever, okay? And the same as with soul winning. You want to just get it out there. Hey, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And really, that's just probably the best question you can ask. Now, after you ask that question, though, you're going to need to ask some follow-up questions. Because typically, no one is going to then give you a response that's going to give you any clarity as to what they believe. I would say in Texas, 95% of the time, this is what they're going to say. Yes. Okay? Which is meaningless. I mean, unfortunately, today, it's kind of meaningless because the vast majority of those people that say yes actually don't even know, though. So, you know, or they're confused, or they believe in works, or they, you know, they're not saved. So, really, you're just getting that question out there to get the conversation started. But then you have to have some really important questions to follow up with to really dig into what they believe. Now, this is what I've always said. My first goal is to figure out what they believe. That's the only thing I care about. I just want to know what you believe before I can then decide what I'm going to do. Because if you believe salvation is by faith, I'm going to give you a high five and give you a sodomite deception and move on, okay? So, you know, I'm going to say get a King James Bible. You know, that's basically what I'm going to say. If they are not saved, then I want to give them an opportunity to hear the gospel today. If they're really confusing, you know what I want to do? Go to the next door. And I'll say this. A lot of people struggle with this. You know, they're like, oh, man, this guy was, like, really confusing. I didn't know what to do. Leave. If I cannot figure out what they believe in just a few minutes, like, why do I think 20 minutes is going to make that better? You know, it's just like, because here's the thing. Salvation is repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. If I can't figure out what you believe, what are you going to repent of? Right? And so we want to identify very clearly what they believe as fast as humanly possible to then give them a good opportunity to hear the gospel being presented to them. Give them an opportunity to change their mind. And that's what I'm often trying to word to them. If they say salvation's by works, I'm saying it's by faith. I want you to change your mind, right? If they say you can lose your salvation, I'm saying you can't lose your salvation. Can I show you? So the whole goal is to identify a statement that's not true, that they sincerely believe, and then to try and show them how the Bible is saying something different. Now, I will say this. On the surface, sometimes people will give you answers that are not, you're just not sure about. Okay, so you have to kind of dig in or try to figure out. This is where also people will struggle. That's why I have these questions, because these questions work 90-some percent of the time, every single situation. You don't really have to go through the go in the weeds. Now, after someone has said yes or no, they know they're going to heaven or whatever, I just then say, okay, well, what do you believe someone has to do to be saved? This is an important question because it's open-ended, and you're going to have any and all kinds of responses, okay, at this point. I would say that the second question is really more about learning what they believe rather than being done. You should never be done with just that question, typically. You probably need a follow-up no matter what. So if I say, what do you have to do to be saved? You know, unless they're just saying, you know, I have no idea, I don't know anything about the Bible, I probably wouldn't end it. They say it's believe in Jesus, accept Jesus in your heart, any of these other things. Doesn't matter what they say, repenting of your sins. If they say something wrong, I would always follow up with this. So do you think salvation then is just faith alone in Jesus or faith plus works? And I'll tell you, I haven't used that always in my soul winning, but I have in the last few years, and it works great. In fact, it surprised me because I thought like no one would say it's faith and works. And it's like everyone says it's both, especially if they're Catholic. I mean, if they're Catholic, this is the greatest question you can ask because they'll just straight up say it's both. They'll say it's definitely both. It's definitely works. And basically, once they've said very clearly and unambiguous words, it's both. Now I have the opportunity to start the gospel. And now I have the opportunity to just give them a gospel and say, okay, actually the Bible says it's just faith alone. Can I show you that? And now I can get right. I mean, you can honestly get started giving the gospel to someone in 30 seconds. Because you can say, hey, I'm from Steadfast Baptist Church. Here's a card. We'd like to come to our church service, but more important, if you were to die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven? Oh, yeah. Well, what do you believe it takes to get to heaven? Oh, be a good person, follow the commandments, do right. So would you say salvation is just faith alone or faith both works? Oh, it's both. Well, actually, the Bible says it's just faith. Can I show you? And I'm telling you, that conversation happens often, where it's just literally that simple, it's that quick. And the reason why I bring this up is you want to have the opportunity to get started as fast as possible. Now, of course, many people will not go through that narrative or that dialogue, okay? So here's another follow-up question you can have. Let's say they're kind of still a little bit vague. Let's say they say, well, it's accepting Jesus into your heart. And you say, well, what does that mean? I usually don't go down that road, okay? They say, it's accepting Jesus in your heart. Okay, if someone believes in Jesus, could they do anything to lose their salvation? That's a good question to see where they're at. Let's say they say no. I will still ask one more question. I will make sure I ask. So then you think, is just faith alone in Jesus one time, or is it faith plus works? And if they say it's a salvation one time, just faith alone, it seems saved to me, even though he said accept Jesus in your heart or some kind of vague answer or whatever it is that they gave. I don't have any clear statement to repent of, you know, with them, okay? Now, if you get really into the weeds, this is, you know, if these questions haven't worked and it's still confusing, okay, and it's not on your worksheet, I will suggest one more question you could kind of ask. And this would be kind of the question I would ask. I would say something like this. So would you say salvation is just a one-time trusting in Christ, or is it a lifestyle? And that will help you in the vague situations, because some churches will often teach that faith means being faithful, like having a lifestyle of faithfulness. So when they hear faith alone, they're like, well, yeah, it's faith alone. And it's like, well, do you have to have the works? Well, you're going to have the works. You'll kind of hear stuff like that. No, you can't have, you would have both. Or, you know, if someone's not going to church, then they're not saved. And it's like, but it is faith alone. And you're like, you can't figure out why there's a disconnect. It's because in their mind, the word faith means faithful. So you have to use different words to describe it. You say, okay, so is salvation believing one time, or is it a lifestyle of believing? And it's like, oh, it's a lifestyle. That'll help trigger in your mind what they actually believe and they're trusting in. And you could say, actually, it's not a lifestyle of faith. It's a one-time trusting. Can I show you how that's different? Now, again, in this section, it's really important that you pay attention to what they actually believe so that you can really contrast it well when you're actually giving the gospel. And here's a couple things I hear that I don't like when someone's giving the gospel, okay? They say, hey, where do you go to church? St. Mary's? Oh, we wouldn't take you from a good church. Wrong. First of all, if they're not saved, they're not going to a great church. Number one. Okay. Number two, never a Catholic church, right? And number three, I'll be honest, I probably do want to steal them away from their church because they're probably not going to a great church. So I would just remove that from my vocabulary completely, okay? Now, I say more important than church or something that's, you know, something that's more important is going to heaven. You might say something like that, but I'm not going to suggest to them that the church they're going to is good, especially when they're not saved or it's a Catholic church. I don't want to leave them on that note. Other things that you kind of hear in the introduction that are kind of confusing is, and you know, it's not a big deal, but it just kind of is weird. You'll say this, if you were to die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven. Yes, that's a great answer. And I'm thinking like, but why is that a great answer? Because it doesn't, you don't even know what they believe. What if I said I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven because I rescue cats? Great, great answer. That's not a great answer. You know, you don't want to necessarily give them false positives or say statements that aren't necessarily true. So I typically, this is what I say, okay? And you don't have to copy me exactly, but I'll say this. Well, people believe differently on what it takes to get to heaven. So do you mind me asking what you believe it takes to get to heaven? Because they seem confident, and you're about to say, actually, buddy, I think you're on your way to hell. So think about that. Think about the logic there, right? But a lot of people are very agreeable on the idea that churches teach different things and believe different things. So I just simply say, okay, well, churches and people believe differently on what it takes to get to heaven then. What do you believe? And that'll actually help soften, and it's not giving them assurance in their bad answer. You're not like saying, oh, that's great that you already believe, you know, this bad idea of how to get to heaven. Or especially if they even bring up a false reason of going to heaven, you know, like, oh, it's repenting of your sins. Oh, that's great. Okay, well, you know, no, that's not great. Here's one other thing that I've noticed, and these are just some little tips. Sometimes people will give you a partial right answer. They'll say something like, what do you think it takes to get to heaven? Believing in Jesus. Okay? And you say, that's okay, yeah, the Bible says that, amen. Do you think someone can lose their salvation? And they're like, yes. Well, actually, the Bible says something completely different. Let me show you. Now, let me explain why I don't like that. You're not about to show them that it's not believing in Jesus that saves them. Okay? Or you should just leave. All right? You're going to show them that it's still believing in Jesus. But you're going to show them something different on eternal security specifically. So if you want to contrast what they've said, you should make it more specific. You should say, well, actually, the Bible says you can't lose your salvation. Can I show you that? Or if they're giving wrong answers, you could say, well, the Bible says it's faith alone. Instead of just saying they're wrong, I like to say specifically what's wrong, right? Or the Bible says something completely different. I've seen people do this, and then the person's so confused during the gospel because they're like, I already told you I believe. Why are you showing me believe when I told you believe, and now you're telling me it's something different? It ends up getting really confusing for the person. So I want to focus on the thing that they said that is different, right? Because if I say, well, the Bible says you can't lose your salvation, I can still hammer believe all day long and it won't confuse them. Whereas if I just told them I'm going to tell you something completely different after you told me believe, that gets them all weirded out and confused and they don't understand and they're just kind of like, they're lost anyways. They're an unsaved person. So you can't really expect them to be very strong in their faith or understand what's going on. So you just want to make sure in the introduction, you're not giving them false positives, telling them something that's not true. And here's the thing. Because soul winning is so repetitious, people say the exact same things over and over and over. So that's why you want to kind of retrain yourself sometimes to have some good habits. So that way you're not just constantly saying these weird things or strange ideas or something like that. So when we get a chance to practice, maybe let your partner give you some weird answers and maybe say something normal rather than like, hey, that was a great answer. You know, saving cats is going to get you into heaven, buddy. See you later. You know, and I've seen this even, and I brought this up in other soul winning instructions, is I've seen someone knock on a door. It's a Catholic. The guy goes to Saint so-and-so church, and he asks him what he has to be saved. He says, believe, follow the commandments, get baptized, repent of your sins. He's like, it's like everything. And the guy's like, well, actually, it's just believing. And he's like, sweet, I'm in. And then the guy goes, well, can I show you from the Bible? And he's like, oh, I don't have time. And then he's like, oh, okay, see you later. You pretty much almost gave that guy more confidence he's going to heaven than before. And I'm thinking, like, that was a fail. Like, if you're not saved, I don't want you to feel more comfortable being unsaved than when I first ran into you, okay? Now, I'm not saying you have to just be like, well, you're going to hell, buddy. See you later. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You don't have to be rude about it. But I don't want to leave people thinking that they're more saved than before when they're not. I want to walk away making it clear where they stand. And I would say, well, actually the Bible says believe is 100% trust in faith in Christ. And if you think it's all those things, then you don't believe correct. So check out the video at least. You know, maybe at least that will plant the seed to then watch the video. Why would the guy watch the video if he's already on his way to heaven? He doesn't really care anyways. So you want to at least plant the right kind of seed and give people the right kind of expectation when giving the gospel. Now, in this worksheet, it has lines and stuff where you could write notes or you could have your own questions or things. So this is just kind of something if you want to fill out on your own, you can kind of work through, use to your discretion if that's something you want to do, especially if you're newer to soul winning. It just kind of helps you, and then you can practice with someone. And if you're a silent partner, if you've never gone soul winning, or you're feeling not very confident, I recommend, you know, deciding exactly what you're going to say before you go and say it. And when I first started going soul winning, I gave the exact same gospel presentation over and over and over and over. I mean, just broken record. Because that's all you do. I mean, it's just a broken record. It's the same gospel. It works on every single person that's interested. Obviously, the gospel doesn't work on reprobates. We get that. But, you know, that's not because your presentation's bad. That's because they don't want to believe, okay? And typically, this is what intimidates people. They say, well, I don't know how to respond to the black Hebrew Israelite. You walk away, okay? I made the mistake of not walking away early enough today, all right? I don't know what's easier now, Jews or black Hebrew Israelites. I mean, it's just like, man, they both are really convinced they're Jews. And it's just like, you're not, bro. But, you know, if someone's not getting saved by the tried and true methods, it's not you that's the problem. Okay, so you have to realize that. You know, it's they're the problem. So you want to have a very consistent gospel that you're using over and over. And if you over time you identify areas that are kind of inefficient or not really working well, then change them. But for the most part, it should be pretty much the same thing, Romans Road, same verses, going over the same concepts, same things, and you'll start seeing that the same gospel works on the same people. You know, it's really kind of prideful and arrogant when you start going and doing weird stuff. Okay, and it's kind of a red flag when people have these really unique gospel presentations. And I'm not against you getting someone saved from Isaiah, but that's weird, okay? It's just really weird. And there's even a reason why a lot of people have their gospel structured in the way that we kind of have it structured, because it flows the best, it makes the most sense, it's the most efficient. You know, you want to make sure that you're kind of covering all the bases. Otherwise, you're going to have a hard time closing the deal, okay? And that's a different topic. But I still want to just, you know, mainly focus on the introduction. If someone's not interested, okay, let's talk about a few different examples. If I walk up and they kind of like start opening the door and then start closing the door, What I do is I walk away. Or if they're like, thanks, bye. You know, I'm not like trying to shove my Bible and foot in the door and like get a verse to them. In fact, at any level that they're not interested, I leave. And pretty much no matter where I am in the gospel, I'm just being honest with you. The best thing to do is just to leave when people are not interested, just to figure out if they're interested. You know, or I'll just ask, do you want to hear this? If they say no, I'm like, okay, watch the video, bye. Right? So typically I'm trying to identify people that are interested. If they, for some reason, have an excuse that seems legitimate, I might compel that person, right? Let's say they say, you know what, I really want to hear this, but I'm kind of running a little late. Then I might say, well, don't you have just 5 minutes, or don't you have 10 minutes, or you have a few more minutes, or, you know, I might compel that person when they've said they really want to hear, or they're like, you know, I'm watching this show. It's like, pause it, bro, you know. Or they're like, hey, I got something on the stove. It's like, hey, just turn it off and come over here or whatever. You know, it's like if they're interested, I want to give them the gospel. I want to help them get over whatever obstacle is stopping them from hearing the gospel right then and there. But I'm not really interested in trying to make someone interested, right? If they're already closing the door, not wanting to hear, I'm just like, bye, you know, see you later. There's 8 million people in this area, okay? And I don't know where you live exactly, but I guarantee there's more people to give the gospel to than you could ever do in your lifetime. So you only have so much time, so many hours, so many minutes to give the gospel. You might as well find the people that are receptive, that want to hear, that are interested, and then try to give them the gospel. Now, of course, it's your family member. You know, pester them till they get saved, right? You're at the family barbecue, got nothing better to do. Make them want to hear the gospel, okay? But, you know, when you're going out soul winning, you want to try and find the receptive, find them that are interested. There is another case, though. Sometimes people don't seem very interested, but you'll say, can I give you one verse? And I try to offer that as much as I can, right? Say, hey, can I just show you one verse? And what I typically do is I'll go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but you could go to Acts 16, John 3, 16. Typically, I'm going to go to a verse that highlights what they said was wrong, right? If they said they can lose their salvation, I might try to go to a verse that talks about something related to not losing your salvation. Maybe John 1, 12, and talk about how you're a son, and how a son can't change the fact of who his parents is later. That way they have just an immediate something showing them that it's different. Typically, they believe in works. So that's why I'm going to Ephesians 2, 8, 9. I just show them, look, it says not of works right here. Now, occasionally what happens is because they just saw the Bible say something completely different what they believe, they all of a sudden get interested, okay? So what I'll do is I'll show them Ephesians 2, 8, 9. I'll explain it a little bit. I'll say, well, so the Bible says that Jesus paid for all of our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And he's offering us a free gift. That's why it's not of works. That's why it's not what we do. It's putting a full trust in him that saves us. Are you sure I can't show you another verse? Or are you sure I can't show you a few more verses on this? Now, again, I still want to ask them, are they interested or not? Because sometimes they'll say one verse, and then someone just starts giving them like 8 verses. You know, and they're like slowly closing the door. And it's like, dude, just come on. Like, you know, don't waste time on people that aren't interested. I'm just telling you, it's kind of a rookie mistake. It's kind of just something that you got to pay attention to a little bit, use some discernment. But I tell you, there's plenty of times where I've given them one verse or a verse and a half or something like that. And then I'm like, can I show you a few more verses? And they're like, yeah, I might as well. Because they just thought you were kind of weird, a Jehovah's Witness or something at first. But now that you're kind of normal, some of you, and you know, you've shown them some good verses from the Bible. They're kind of like, you know what? I want to hear what this guy has to say now, or this gal or whatever. I've got a few more minutes. So you piqued their interest. That would be the goal of one verse, is to pique their interest and see if they're interested. If they're still not, watch the video. Have a good day. See you later. And I'm telling you, if you stick to this method, you're going to see the most people saved typically. Because people are often, they're just wasting too much time not getting to the punchline, or they're wasting time with people that are not interested, or they're just bringing up random things that end up kind of distracting them later on. They don't have clear answers to use later in the gospel, and so it's confusing. Because I've seen people get saved, people saved again. But let me tell you something. You can't get someone saved again. Okay? Hebrews 6 already said that it was impossible. All right? To lose your salvation. So we're not going to renew them again under repentance. All right? But you can identify if they're saved. And that's why I want to ask really clear questions, get really clear statements. And I've had some people give a wrong statement, but then they end up being saved. That's why it's important to ask a handful there, get some clarification. I asked the lady, is salvation faith alone or faith that works? She says, believing in Jesus. And I said, can you lose your salvation? She said, absolutely. I said, okay, well, how does someone lose their salvation? I don't know. And I was like, what have I sinned? She's like, well, no, Jesus paid all of our sins. And I'm like, so if someone believes in Jesus and he paid all their sins, can they lose their salvation? She's like, actually, no, they can't lose their salvation. You're right. I hadn't really thought about it, but you're right. It's just faith alone. There's no way you could lose it. And I figured she was saved. But, you know, I've seen a lot of people, as soon as they hear something that's not quite right, they just dive right into the gospel. And then they just waste all this time with someone that actually already believed it. Okay. And then that's also where you get in these scenarios where you say, well, they said something wrong at the door, but then all of a sudden they said that that's what they always believed. And it's like, probably because they did. You maybe didn't ask very good questions or get a really clear statement from someone at the very beginning, and you just started showing them verses, and it just ends up being a waste of time again, okay? So I have these questions kind of listed in this thing. It's also in this worksheet. And then I kind of have a, are you interested or not? And then you kind of have that one verse. This is one page of seven. But I'm telling you, this is probably the hardest, most difficult part of giving the gospel. And it's one that takes a lot of just practice to kind of get really good. But you can be a brand new soul winner and be really good if you just do exactly what this says. If you try to kind of do your own weird stuff, often it just doesn't go anywhere, and you confuse people. I just want to really encourage you to try and use the methods that people have used for a long time, and they work really successfully. Also, I do believe that someone has to believe eternal security to be saved. There is some soul winning methods out there that don't ask about eternal security, or they don't double check what they mean by believe. And those are not good gospel presentation skills, okay? So you might have new people show up, or you go soul winning with other people, and they don't ask those follow-up questions. You need to step in as a silent partner to ask that question if they're going to walk away, okay? So if someone's, you know, not doing a very good job or not asking more questions, you need to realize that's not a good method of soul winning, okay? Don't excuse. I've gone with pastors. And they don't even ask those questions. I'm thinking, like, I don't think that guy's saved. They just said they were a Christian. We don't even know what that means. You know, let's actually kind of dive in a little bit. It's called confrontational soul winning. Now, let me explain what confrontational means. It's not like, you know, hey, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? You know, it's not that. What we're doing is we're confronting what they believe. And we're challenging what they believe. Because you and I both know, if you've gone soul winning, sometimes you'll just ask, you know, like, hey, we're from Baptist church. And they're like, great, I love Baptist churches. If you were to die today, 100% should go to heaven, why would you ask that question? Because it's confrontational. Or like, I can't believe you just asked me that. And it's like, why not? It's the most important question, right? If you're going to get to know somebody, if you're out evangelizing, what could be more important? And so we want to drop those questions. And those questions are confrontational. They will startle people sometimes, and there's a purpose to it, because it really just begs the question, what are you trusting in, bro? Is it faith alone in Christ or not? And so I want to give you guys an opportunity to kind of partner up with some other people in the church and kind of practice this a little bit. Now, I'm going to give some tips for just our workshop part, okay? This has nothing to do with giving the gospel, all right? If you are going to help someone, you might come up with some good responses, okay? Things that you've heard out soul winning that people say that kind of tripped you up or a little bit weird, you know, and try to help people get better at asking questions. So, you know, if they say, you know, you're going to just basically take turns, pick a partner, take turns, Someone's unsaved, you're not saved. Here's how you got to do it, all right? Here's how you do acting, all right? You just pick your character. You're like, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, all right? I'm a black Hebrew Israelite. You know, in America today, you get to pick whatever you want, right? You get to pick whoever you are, so you can just be whatever. You can be Catholic, Jehovah's Witness. And look, some of those are good, because if they're a black Hebrew Israelite, you want to see how long it takes for them to get out of that conversation and reject you. Hopefully it's soon, okay? Hopefully it's real quick when you drop some bombs like, you know, hey, go to Psalms 86. It's like, no, I'm bye. You know, I'm not that interested. Hey, who are the Jews? Bye. You know, it's just like, I don't really want to talk. You know, you just don't want to waste a lot of time. And again, the goal is just to have some a safe environment for some people to practice, kind of work on things. And even if you're good, you know, get used to asking some of these other questions, maybe not saying some weird stuff when they bring up, you know, oh, well, I go to St. Mary's. Well, I don't want to take you from a really great church. And this is the goal, okay? When you're practicing with someone and they do something weird, say that it's weird to them. Don't be like, that was weird. You know, be like, that was weird. Hey, I don't think you should say that. Hey, maybe you should try this, right? That's the goal, is to have a safer environment. And look, when we go soul winning, I want the environment to be like this, where if someone thinks you can improve on something, you should want to hear it. And you should say it. Because I'll tell you, I have dozens of people, they come up to me and they say, hey, so-and-so did this weird thing. And this is what I always say. What did you say? Nothing. And it's like, say something, you know. Say, that was weird. That was bizarre. Hey, why don't you do this next time, you know. And again, if someone's going to get offended at doing something bizarre at soul winning, it's really just their heart's not right, in my opinion, okay? So we can all improve. We can all get better. And maybe they have a good reason. You're like, oh, okay, I thought that was bizarre before, but now I guess it makes sense. I don't know. But, you know, at least engaging with people, working on presenting the gospel. And we want to get to a point where we feel comfortable giving the gospel to family members. And, you know, that's difficult. If you can talk to your family members here, maybe you can talk to your family members out there, all right? Anybody have a question or a thought in the introduction, since it's kind of an open? I'll give you a second to think about that. Brother Nick. So I would say just get to the point where you start. I would say this. Practice with your partner on the introduction a few times, and then if you've kind of gone through that, if someone wants to try and give the whole gospel as like a practice, then let them do that. Good question. Good question. Any other questions about any of that? So what I want to do is we're going to try and move people around a little bit if they don't have a partner. You can just practice with your spouse even. I don't care. It's not that you can't if you want to. But basically, we just still want to give people an opportunity to preach the gospel. So if I want to do this just to get an idea. If you have not been presenting the gospel for over a year, just raise your hand real quick. You've not been preaching the gospel to people for over a year.
So let's have Brian. Why don't you move to Ryan's table over here? Sit with Ryan. And Lucy, why don't you sit with Mr. Bannock? Is that okay? Hey, do you want to sit over here with Miss Faith, with Millers right here, just to your right? Yeah, awesome. Hey, brother Jason, do you want to sit with Jimmy at Jimmy's table and John Ball's table for me? And then You guys can work together. I'll sit over here with you for Adam, okay? All right. So I think we're good to start.
So we've gone a little over time. Let's just take about 45 minutes, 30, 45 minutes. Just let each other kind of work on the gospel introductions. Just take some turns. And then whenever you're good to go, you're good to go. There's not going to be an official stopping point. There's still maybe some bagels or something. If you want one, grab one. If you want one of these New Testaments, grab one. Thank you so much for coming. I'm going to say a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get started, all right? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the opportunity to come together and enjoy this food and fellowship. I pray that you would just bless all the people that are here, that you would just help their conversations. You would help us to have a heart to learn and to grow, that we would take the gospel very seriously, that we would have a fervent zeal to preach the truth with the best of our ability. And I pray as we go out soul winning this week and in the rest of our lives that we'd have the boldness to put into practice the things that we learned tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.